There are. Oh, I can hear myself.
I can turn on the mics. That's about it.
That's all we need.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
Cody Goff here with Brian Noonan on WGNRadio.com. What are you laughing at?
When did you get top billing?
You started laughing immediately.
Because you immediately said top billing, even though it's the Brian Noonan Show podcast with Cody Goff.
Because I said, if I had to say Cody Goff here.
Did you?
With Brian Noonan, because I'm Cody Goff.
All right, whatever you want to do. Go ahead, start. I didn't mean to interrupt. You want to start you like starting the podcast in your laid-back podcasting internet style.
No, that was it.
I come out. Bang. We talked about this before. Go ahead. You could start your thing.
I think we had a misunderstanding in the last episode, actually.
We did. Why? Did you listen back to it?
Yeah, I actually listened to the podcasts that I do.
It's like, to me, this is, I set it free. And once it's free, I can't recapture it.
Oh.
Once I say it, it's gone. I think you're recording it, but that's not for me.
Well,
if I revisited everything I said, I'd spend my life bogged down in more regret and self-loathing than I already do. So my thing is, it's what's done is done, Cody. I wash my hands of it.
I guess you could say it is what it is.
No, I couldn't say that.
You couldn't?
Physically, I could. Mentally, I could not. Because then I would become one of the things I loathe.
Mm.
So,
well,
what was the misunderstanding?
I said I will open the show. And
right.
You took that to mean that I will just kind of run the show.
No. The last episode, if it is the last episode, because maybe somebody's listening to this episode before the last episode.
The last
and
episode.
And it'd be the next episode.
Let's not have this happen again.
No.
The last episode we recorded.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Right after Christmas, the one we recorded right before New Year's.
Yes.
And I knew you wanted to, you had a thing in mind to open it. I didn't think you wanted to run the show, but I know you had some things. You've talked to me and said, I have a couple things I'd like to get to, which is fine. Just
what,
like
today?
You do on the Sunday show.
Oh, on this episode.
Yeah. You'll say, I got a couple things I want to talk about, or you'll suggest things, and I'll say okay or no, or I'll just nod my head and ignore you and then go on and do whatever I want.
Okay. Well, because
last kind
time,
of what it's going to do here.
Well, last time I just felt like you kind of kicked your feet up. And
I did.
Yeah.
It was nice.
You were kind of
I didn't have any responsibilities.
This is what I'm saying.
I was a figurehead last week. It was my podcast in name only.
This is where the misunderstanding comes in, because I was not intending to, quote unquote, drive the content.
Oh, you weren't?
No. This is what I'm saying.
That's a shame, because I got nothing. But
good.
If you'd like to. If
Wait, today you have nothing?
Of course.
Oh, good.
No, I always have something.
No, you always have something.
Well, I got the pad. It's empty, but I got the pad this time.
Well,
I actually just remembered what I wanted to talk about, but go ahead.
Oh, good. Well, here, I'll introduce it like we're, like you're still talking.
No, I was just busting your chops about the putting yourself, giving yourself top billing.
Oh, sure.
I know, though, that much like in the days of the Caesars, you are plotting behind my back for an overthrow. I understand that. I'm comfortable with it. I await your attempt. There's nothing I can do with your Machiavellian machinations.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do what you have to do.
Sure.
And it will be up to me to, hold my ground against those attacks. Very adversarial episode of the podcast. That's right. I know you're trying to kill. It's very Oedipal. I know at one point you will want to kill me.
It's very Oedipal. You're not my father. That's
right. I'm your podcast daddy. I'm your radio daddy.
Wow.
That's right.
That.
Unfortunately, we don't have a radio mommy for you to want to sleep with. Well, there might be somebody that you want to sleep with. I don't know, and I don't want to get involved in that, menagerie.
Uh-huh.
So that's that. There. Who's got a misunderstanding now?
All the women at this station are married.
Not all of them.
I don't know any. Well, you know what? I don't know anybody that really works here anyway, because I only show up to do the podcast and the show.
And after hours on both. Sundays we come in, there's nobody here
except
the sports guys. And now that the Bears season is over, one, we won't get any more free food on Sundays. And two, we won't walk into a studio that smells like a locker room.
What if the Bears go to the Super Bowl?
I think by that time you and I will either be old and doddering, and we won't want to eat because it'll be after 2 in the afternoon, and we don't eat dinner after 2 in the afternoon. We'll be that old. Or, we'll be gone one way or another.
Wow.
Just, set it free.
Not very optimistic.
No, pessimistic and adversarial. That's the two tones of tonight's podcast or today's podcast. I don't know when you listen to it. It doesn't matter.
See, this is why I was just going to say my name and your name and say hello, and then I was going to pass it to you.
Oh.
But instead you just took it. You snatched
damn
it
right I did.
Out of my hands.
Listen, I'm snatching it out. I'm taking control. I anticipate your move. I anticipate you making a move on me. This is like a turf war. I know how it's going
to
go.
I'm not going to make a move on you. This isn't prom night.
Not a move like that. Oh. You're going to make a move to snatch power.
Ah, yes.
The perceived power that I have, the power that I've built up in my head that I have recording a podcast in the middle of the night.
I just get
when nobody can see us. Ooh, I got to do something thinking of this.
Do you need to tweet at somebody while we're recording?
No, that's not happening. No, I have to remember to submit something, though, before we go. So
you're going to need to tap out?
No, I don't need to tap out. I just need to be reminded.
I'm putting you in a submission hold, the Cobra Clutch, perhaps?
I heard the Iron Sheik on Howard Stern's show the other day. They were replaying an interview they did with the Iron Sheik from 2015.
Yes.
He is certifiably mentally unstable.
He's insane.
He's out of his mind.
It's awesome.
And it's his whole thing. I tried to maintain my power base just by snatching control of the conversation. He wants to exert his power over other people by, how can I put this delicately? Because we still have to obey. Sexually subjugating them. That's a good way to put it, right?
Yes, yes.
Because every guy he has an argument with, it's the same threat. Mm-hmm. How the Iron Sheik is going to take control.
Yeah.
But he's a loon.
Yeah.
Now, you were too young. You didn't see him in his heyday, did you?
I never saw him in his heyday, but I've seen interviews with wrestlers who have worked with him, and they've told some stories that are just completely out of control.
Yeah, I remember watching him like wrestle Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man and all that back in the day, and he was nuts back then. And he never looked really in shape. He had one of those strongman bodies where he looked like a barrel. You know, he wasn't the new kind of guy all chiseled up. He was just this mass of... I don't know what it was, Iranian, Iraqi?
Iranian. Yeah, the Iranian.
I know, but was he really? Is he really? Somehow I got a feeling he's just some, you know, guy from Albuquerque who's never even traveled to Iran.
I believe he actually is Albanian, not Albanian, Iranian, we just established. And my friend told me about all the muscle, because, yeah, his body is, he's got the big gut.
Right.
But it's solid muscle.
Like powerlifting body.
Yeah, because he could do this thing with these batons. I don't remember what they were called, but they're really, really heavy batons, 80 or 90 pounds or something. And he could wheel them above his head and just kind of wail his arms around, kind of like a lasso, but with both arms and these super, super heavy baton things.
Wow.
And there was a WCW promo and he challenged Sting to do it. And Sting never does it because he's not strong enough.
Right.
And my friend Guy just told me, he just said, yeah, Iron Sheik is all muscle under there. He's got a very, very strong, powerful core.
Maybe the muscles ate away at his mental capacity because he's a lunatoon. That guy's out of his mind.
Really?
So how did we get on that? The Iron Sheik. Oh, because you were going to camel clutch me.
Right, we're going to submit each other. You have some business you need to attend
we're
recording.
No, not while we're recording. Yeah. I'll remember it later.
Uh-huh.
I've written myself a note.
Oh, good.
To remind myself to take care of business. It
notes.
Just popped in my head. Sure, I have notes. I'll be honest, I had a couple things, and then for whatever reason, they've slipped my mind. But they will come back to me as we continue to talk.
Okay.
And if not, then we'll talk about the things that you ate. Because you came in ablaze with a couple things that you needed to get off your chest.
Well, I don't know, ablaze. There's...
I'm sorry, did you ever play you went to a Improv Olympic and... It's yes and, Cody. It's yes and.
No, it's not.
No, I'm not with you, obviously. No.
No. Well, I'm trying to... I'm yes-ending your adversariality.
Oh, you want to be... Oh, you want a piece. Let's go.
I'm trying to be as adversarial as
you. Is that right? We're going full adversarial now?
That's,
all right.
Yes.
All right, you...
Right?
Yeah, fix it in editing.
I was actually... I don't edit this podcast.
I know. That's what's scary.
That's the best part of this whole deal.
Right. We seem to be... I will say, people seem to like it, though. I don't know why, but people seem to enjoy it. So we're happy. Thank you if you're listening. We appreciate that.
I think it's the addition of me.
Yeah, because you're never featured on the regular
show.
Ever.
Regular show.
You people say to me, you keep mentioning this Cody, and yet we never hear from him. Is there any way that maybe he could say hello once.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, nah, that's a can of worms I don't really want to open.
Mm-hmm. I get tweets all the time.
Why don't you talk more?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time. No, just saying, why does Brian silence you?
Yeah, why does Brian talk on his own show?
That it's a big question.
No, I understand.
I'm wondering, why do you talk on your own show?
Because mime on the radio, I tried it. It doesn't work.
We did. We had a mime.
We had a mime
in
on the radio.
Overnight program.
Sure we did.
What happened to that mime?
I don't know. I think he was murdered.
Was he subjugated by the Iron Sheik?
He was sexually subjugated by the Iron Sheik.
That's not appropriate.
It's never appropriate.
Mm-mm.
Never at all.
What are you? All right. Sure.
All right. So, I've had a rough week, Cody. So don't, I made the mistake. Have you seen the movie Inside Out? Did you watch Inside Out?
What is that?
It's the Pixar animated thing that goes inside an 11-year-old girl's mind.
Oh,
and it's
I've
all
heard,
the emotions.
Yeah.
It turns out we all have these emotions. And it's a beautiful movie about, it turns you around. Because in the end, it's not a spoiler alert, I don't think. It's been out for over a year, this movie. You need sadness to make other things better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all about this little girl and her emotions, and she becomes a teenager, and there's problems with the parents and all of this, and we watched it right up until literally the minute we took our daughter to the airport to go back to school.
Mm.
So I'm crying watching this movie, trying not to show my emotion because my wife and daughter mock me. They accuse me of not having emotion, and then when I show emotion, it makes them very uncomfortable.
It's because you're a man.
Is that what it is?
It is.
Because I'm a man and I'm not supposed to show emotion?
Our society has serious issues with men showing their emotions.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now you're going to make me cry.
See?
See? Thank goodness we're sequestered away from other people.
It's society. It's misandry.
Is it that or is it the economy?
Well, misandry is brought about by the economy.
Is that right?
That is the root of all of our problems.
Everything's the economy.
It is.
Yeah, so I'm trying, because, and I'm a sap. Because I really do push all my emotions down, but then there's just a thin layer on top of them, so you can get to them pretty easily. So I've got them pushed out, and I've cried at movies before, and I'm not embarrassed to admit that. If there's a movie touches me in some way, then I will. I don't weep like like racking sobs, but tears will run down my face, and it makes my daughter. Oh man, she doesn't like it at all. Why are you crying? Oh, because the movie's sad. Didn't you think it, yeah, it was okay, but I'm not going to cry about it. Wow, all right.
Wow.
Easy, heartless. Stonehenge. But so the worst.
Stonehenge?
Yeah, because she's just big stone heart. That's
all
she
has.
Oh, I see.
I see.
So we're watching it, and we had timed it out because we had to leave for the airport at 6, and the movie ended at like 5:58. So I'm still like, I'm just, oh my God. Here's my daughter and her emotions, and now I got emotions. Then get on the plane, get out of town. See ya. So now we drop her off, and I'm still crying.
The whole time?
Oh, again, not a constant stream of, weeping. But there were enough that, my wife knew not to even look at me. She was looking straight ahead like she was in the Kentucky Derby. She had blinders on. She would not look to her left at all. Because I'm just driving quietly. At one point, I just reached over and touched her thigh and then put my hands back on the wheel at 10 and 2 and just kept driving.
Wow.
I'm an emotional train wreck.
Well, were you okay on the way home?
No, this was on the way home that I just reached over and touched her thigh.
The whole round trip.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we live close to the airport. So it's not. It was like a four-hour round trip. And there were a few instances of breaks in the strong emotions for me to shout obscenities at the idiots at the airport who have never driven to the airport before.
So everyone?
Everybody but me.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the world is idiots.
Yeah. What movie has made you cry the most ever?
Oh, the most ever? Boy, I don't know. I remember the first one I remember crying to is Brian's Song, the original.
I never
with James Caan and Billy Dee Williams.
Haven't seen it.
Field of Dreams always makes me cry. You ever seen that one?
Haven't watched it.
All right. I don't have any gamer movies that we could connect with.
The Wizard?
No.
With Fred Savage?
I'll tell you, I cried at the thought of Dance Dance Revolution, A Warrior's Path. I wept openly at the idea of that movie. I don't know if that made me cry the most in the world of cinema.
Sure.
It made me cry quite a bit.
The only movie that's made me cry is Crash.
Which there were two Crash movies.
Were there is it the one
where there were multiple storylines, or the one where the people were like weirded out and wanted to like get it on in crash sites?
No, the multiple
storylines.
One about social justice,
yes,
and racism,
because
and
you're
like
all
that.
About social justice.
Yeah, yeah,
and a racist.
Yeah, all the things.
All those things.
All
you're all
things.
About all those things.
Now, next up. Gun control and abortion. Let's talk.
Wow, all right. Let's bring it on.
Let's do it.
All right, a president. It's all Obama. All about Obama.
Suddenly our podcast numbers go up way high in Oregon. It's the strangest thing.
We are huge. And if you'd like, you can mail us treats as well. That would be fine. That's their thing. All right.
Are we going to talk about Oregon now?
No, we're not going to talk about Oregon except to say this. Because I would hope if you and I ever decide to barricade ourselves somewhere and take over a building,
uh-huh,
and we tell people we're planning on being here for years, we at least bring some snacks to last us a week.
Yeah.
As opposed to, all I got's a pack of gum. Really? You're really cementing yourself as geniuses.
Can they get delivery?
You know who'd have to deliver it? The United States Post Office. A.K.A. the feds.
Is it that far away?
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Whatever. Just tip the Chinese driver a lot more money.
Wow.
Chinese food.
Always got to be about a Chinese guy?
No, Chinese
guys
food.
Will come out to the middle of
the
nowhere.
Chinese food
saying?
Delivery driver. Doesn't have to be a Chinese person.
Hop Singh gets on his bike, wheels out to the middle of nowhere. Is that what you're saying? Is that how you're doing it now?
We've already established that I'm terribly intolerant.
So why did Crash make you cry?
There was a gunshot that rings out, and you think that they shot a little girl or a little boy,
yeah,
or something, and I just lost it.
Okay.
And it was in a lecture hall at Drake University.
Oh, my gosh.
We were watching it for one of my classes, ethics and journalism maybe or something. I don't even remember what class it was, but I lost it. My friend House was sitting next to me, and she was touched by my rare show of emotion.
See? Because you're like Spock. You show emotion once every 7 years, or is that when you mate?
Affirmative. What? Wait, what?
Which did he do only every seven years? Was it mate or show emotion?
I don't remember. Or both. I was never...
Because I'll tell you what, if I only mate once every 7 years, which is close, I show as much emotion as I can. Because here's the thing. If you mate that infrequently and you show some emotion, it might increase the frequency.
Or decrease the frequency.
Well, that's true.
Depending on
why are you crying? I don't know, because I almost forgot how to do this.
Wow. You know, the second movie that almost made me, only two movies have ever made me cry. One made
really?
Me cry, one made me almost cry. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Made you cry?
The end of the movie I thought was the saddest thing ever.
I can't remember the end.
They stay divorced.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I just thought that was the most miserable, depressing thing.
See, that makes sense.
Because nothing was reconciled.
I probably would have cried at that.
It was basically Crazy Dad isn't allowed to see kids. Crazy Dad cross-dresses to see kids and goes through all these antics. And then at the end, the wife...
His hijinks.
Yeah, the wife finds out, is still mad, still thinks nothing of this guy. And,
right.
All right, well, you can see the kids once in a while, I guess. That was it.
He wanted to see the kids.
Awful.
He didn't want to see the flying nun.
Awful.
He wanted to be with the children.
No, hated it.
All right.
I mean, the movie actually is pretty enjoyable, but the ending, I just... Atrocious.
I get sappy like at the Rocky movies. I get sappy at a lot of them.
Now,
I'll cry.
I have to ask you, did this start after you had kids? Well, your daughter.
Because
my oldest brother, Jason, insists that since he had his first kid, everything makes him cry.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure I cried. No, because, I mean, I remember crying at Field of Dreams I saw before my daughter was born.
Oh, sure.
When it first came out, I cried then. I'm a little more apt to cry now, especially about, like, with In-N-Out. And when we went and saw Up, the other Pixar movie. That Pixar people, they're devilish.
I was going to ask if you saw Up. That movie
Of course I saw Up and I wept. And then that's what sucks about Up is that you're crying in the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even – and then it's like now you have to gather all your – self-respect and emotions back up to watch the other part of the movie, which is great, until the end again when you start crying again.
I never saw the end.
No?
You gave up after the first 10 minutes? First 5 minutes you're crying.
Yeah.
It's the saddest opening.
It's horrible.
In movies.
It's wonderful, but horrible.
Yeah, I think I made it 30 or 45 minutes in. A bunch of friends were over. This is back when I lived with a couple of my friends, and I was really tired or something. I just peace out.
Well, yeah, once you have the... a little fatigue, you're going to cry easier, too. I'll tell you what, I just saw Minions and I watched Avengers Age of Ultron again. Didn't cry at either one of those.
Oh, really?
I was good. I stayed strong. And I stayed awake through both of them. So that was a double win. Win-win. So
better than Game of Thrones.
Right. Even though I got the gist of Game of Thrones, yeah. Which is coming back. And the one kid is coming back now. The son who can see things. He's going to have a bigger part.
Bran,
sure.
Yeah.
The one who was thrown out of a window in the first episode.
Yeah, he's in.
Thankfully, that happened early in the episode before I fell asleep.
It was a pretty important plot.
It was a huge. That's what I'm saying. It was a huge plot line. What they got? Why is this kid crippled? I don't know.
I need to start Game of Thrones because I read through
most of the book.
I actually didn't make it all the way through book 5.
Okay.
I don't know why. And because I just tore through a 1,000 pages of book. So
that's too much book.
Too much book indeed. And I got really near the end, and now of course the show's caught up.
Right.
But before I can watch it, my girlfriend and I need to finish watching. We just started 2 weeks ago watching Twin Peaks.
Oh, the original one?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like it?
I mean, I've seen a lot of it before, and I love it. She cannot stop. She every time an episode ends, she goes, "You want to watch another one?"
Oh, wow.
You want to watch another one? And she loves. And you know what? The most frustrating thing is, for some reason, the first time I watched it, this didn't happen. But this time, every single time Agent Cooper is eating and has coffee,
yes,
I want snacks and coffee. I brewed a half pot of decaf coffee at 11:30 Saturday night.
So you could watch Twin Peaks and drink
coffee?
Because
we were in the middle of an episode, and I paused it, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And I wanted to get a pie from 7-Eleven.
I was going to say, did you go get some apple pie?
7-Eleven's across the street, but right. They don't have pies there.
Not even like a Hostess fruit pie?
We actually ended up getting some Hostess, not Twinkies, but these weird vanilla things with frosting on top.
Like Zingers?
Zingers, maybe.
Oh, Zingers, yeah, sure.
I'd never had them.
You'd never had a Zinger? They make a raspberry Zinger, or they used to. I haven't had that stuff in a long time. They used to make this Zinger that was sponge cake, and it had raspberry and then coconut on top of it. It's the best. It was like crack. It was so. I hated the ones with the frosting. I hated them. But the one with the raspberry and the coconut, because it wasn't frosting. It was like a tart raspberry kind of just glaze, and then it was covered in coconut, and the cake was real spongy, and you could just, you could pop them in your mouth like Tic Tacs.
See, you got me with the raspberry, but I don't like coconut.
Dude, it goes together. Beautifully.
I'd have to
check it out. Beautifully. Look for them. They're the red ones. You can't miss them. It's chocolate, vanilla, and then the red ones.
Okay.
That look like somebody was hemorrhaging and then just threw little shreds of cotton at it to try to stop the bleeding.
All right. Wow.
That sounds appetizing,
graphic.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Very.
I'm painting pictures with words, Cody.
I will.
This isn't TV.
It's not.
I can't show you. I have to tell you.
You're right.
That's what we do.
Well, I will keep that in mind next time I go to 7-Eleven. But I feel like this show is it's like I'm on the it's like I got the munchies every time I watch it.
Yes,
and
that's how I get when I used to watch Goodfellas the movie.
Really?
Because there were all these scenes of these guys cooking Italian food.
Oh.
They're grilling up sausages. They're slicing garlic for marinara sauce. They're making meatballs, and I'm like, oh my god, that one and a movie called The Big Night. Have you ever seen The Big Night with Stanley Tucci and Tony Shalhoub? It's about these brothers who own a little restaurant. And it's a little Italian restaurant, and Tony Shalhoub is this genius, crazy cook, the chef. And they're kind of at war with a bigger restaurant. Anyway, the whole movie is about them cooking this giant dinner because Louis Prima, the drummer, is supposed to come for dinner. And they make this thing. It's the whole centerpiece of the movie is creating this giant thing with pasta and meat. It's the whole movie is nothing but food. They're cooking food. They're eating food. And I'm like, I can't watch it. It's insanity. Insanity. So you like Twin Peaks?
Love it. Love it. Love it.
See, because now I blame you for this. We have started binge watching things now because a few years ago for Christmas, you gave me a 6-month subscription to Netflix.
Yeah.
Which I left in my cupboard for almost a year.
I was going to say.
And then I activated it.
Yeah.
And I've never used it. Molly uses it all the time.
Sure. Millennials.
Sure. The kids love the streaming.
Love the streaming.
I'll be honest. I have so much stuff off the regular TV.
Sure.
That it's like, I don't have time. And I tried watching The House of Cards a couple years ago, and it was good. I just, I couldn't. We didn't have it on the TV. I don't know. Anyway, but now I've started not only watching binge watching Longmire, which used to be on A&E and now is on Netflix, It's just a cop show set in Wyoming, and I watch it for the scenery and because the sheriff is like this cowboy guy. So, and he has this log cabin. And every time they show him at his on his porch in this log cabin, he's looking out at the mountains and this beautiful wide open space. And I think to myself, and Debbie says it too, why don't we just go live there? Like in the middle of Wyoming.
Why don't you?
I don't know. I'm sure there's an AM daytimer I could get a job at, you know? Sure, an AM daytimer.
I mean, for $8 an hour, probably. But
yeah, but I'm living in a cabin in Wyoming. How much money do I need?
Not
I'm going to become a survivalist.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm going to do. So I start binge watching that, and now we're binge watching that Making a Murderer, which we'll have to talk about on a subsequent episode.
I've heard amazing
you
things.
Need to. We won't talk about it until you've watched it.
You should challenge Craig to it on You've Binge Challenge.
I've already challenged him once.
Well, you can challenge
I don't
him
think
again.
He wants to repeat. Guess, even though I was fascinated.
Who wouldn't
on the
want
show.
To repeat you as a guest?
Listen, you bring me on, your podcast is going to get another hit. Not from me, but from somebody.
I might have you on Game Life Balance, US.
Sure, okay, that would be great. I'd come on.
You know.
I try to balance. I'm pretty good. 1 foot. I can switch feet. I can balance.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I don't play games.
Well, it's not a video game podcast. It's a lifestyle podcast.
It's a lifestyle podcast. And I have a lifestyle. It's boring, but I have one.
It's a lifestyle.
I have a lifestyle. It's not the envy of many, but I have one.
Yeah, well, we're also, because your Wyoming scenery reminds me of The Hateful Eight.
Yes.
Because my girlfriend and I saw it at the 80mm.
70mm.
70, that's unless, what I meant.
Unless you paid it. We paid extra for the 10 extra
yeah,
millimeters.
10 extra
wow,
millimeters.
All right. It was just a black strip at the top of the screen, but it was 10 extra millimeters.
We went to see the matinee on New Year's Day at the Music Box.
Okay. I was going to ask where it was in 70 millimeters.
Have you been to the Music Box?
Not in a long time,
yeah,
but I know where the Music Box is. Sure.
For the listener not aware, it's a historic, older theater. They've got the really ornate decorations on the walls and everything, yeah. And the ceiling has stars, and it's a really nice older theater, and they got a new screen specifically for this showing, and they're going to have a whole 70 millimeter tour go through there.
Oh, nice.
So it's very cool. We showed up for the matinee. The line outside was 2 blocks long. They were sold out.
Really?
Sold out. Huge line. So we showed up almost 45 minutes beforehand for the showing that night. It was packed.
Wow. Really?
It was amazing.
How was it? How was the movie?
You said you've read mixed reviews. I have mixed feelings.
Okay.
So we'll have to talk. You'll see it, I'm sure.
No, I want to go see it. Listen, I got to go see this Star Wars thing everybody's talking about. The kids are all crazy with Star Wars.
Is that the one with Kirk?
I think it is.
Okay.
I don't know. I think there's a Wookiee and Kirk and Tribble.
And Gremlins, right?
Gremlins are in there, and somebody crawls into something's stomach.
Yeah.
To keep warm.
That sounds like
that
Star
sounds
Wars.
Right? Yeah, that sounds like that. So I got to see that. I want to see The Hateful Eight. I got to go see some movies. Thank God we're off on Sundays for a while.
I know.
At least till February. I got to go start seeing some movies now that the holidays are
so
over.
So you see those. I'll go see The Big Short, which I've heard a lot about.
I've heard a lot about The Big Short. It's supposed to be good.
I've heard you walk out pretty angry, though.
Really? Oh, sure, because it's about, you know,
it's about people
us getting screwed.
Screwing America.
Screwing America.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
So
people screwing America?
I'm already pretty angry at America. People screwing America. Not America. I'm not angry at America.
Wow. Hello. Hold on. I got to make a quick call. Hello? Oh, that was bad theater of the mind.
I just hit my head
with the phone receiver because I was committed to the prank. I was committed to the bit that I was going to call the TSA. I was going to call, you know, somebody, Homeland Security, and report you. Because you're angry at America.
Well, it's not like I'm flying anywhere with my driver's license anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. Thank goodness I got a passport.
Same here.
I have not used it, though. I'm afraid. I have to go. I got to make a quick couple runs. Let's take a road trip. I got to get a couple runs into Canada or Mexico to get a couple stamps on my passport so it doesn't look like I'm that guy who just got a passport to get on the plane.
Right.
Where are you flying? Nowhere, but I have a passport. Really, sir? Why don't you step outside and strip down and bend over? Because next year we're going overseas, but I don't want that to be the first stamp.
Yeah.
So I may have to go to Windsor and pick up some Cuban cigars and see a strip show and then come back.
Windsor?
Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Right across the river from Detroit.
I thought you meant Windsor Castle.
Maybe I go to Windsor Castle. I hear Prince George started school today.
Did he?
Sure he did.
You heard that?
I heard it on the news.
Where did you?
On the news. It's big news.
Why is that big news?
I'm not the news director. I don't make the editorial decisions. I'm just telling you it was one of the lead stories on Good Morning America.
Tell me.
That Prince George started school, and then they showed his picture. and how he was going to a private little Montessori school not far from his home because Kate and Wills want him to be raised out of the spotlight, much as Wills was. So
that is so dumb.
What, did I know it?
No. Did anyone report it on this and that anyone cares?
Everybody cares about the Royals, except you, because you're mad at America.
I am now. I really am now.
Why are you mad at America?
I have been so mad. Actually, it's the media I've been mad at lately.
Sure. The media sucks, and all members of the media suck.
You know, no, WGN's an exception.
All right.
It is. WGN Radio is an exception. And Chicago Tribune does not just pull stuff from The Wire and just reprint it like a lot of places. And whoever's in charge of The Wire, the AP or whatever, I mean, I don't know.
Reuters, AP.
We show CNN at work. We have CNN on in the lunchroom. And I hate CNN more than anything in the world.
Why?
It's just the worst. They just promote stupidity. They promote their own agendas.
More so than the other side?
Oh, Fox News?
CNN, you could say, leans liberal. But then Fox News, don't they do the same thing on the other side?
It's not about leaning. It's about what they're talking about.
Okay.
I don't care what the lean is, but if the subject matter, the story, is it's completely meaningless and doesn't do anything for anybody, then, you know, I don't know.
You got 24 hours to fill. Sometimes they're not all going to be hard-hitting meat. Sometimes you need potatoes. Sometimes you need a treat.
Sad.
Sometimes you need a Mr. Fluffy to throw in there. You know, you can only do so many. Hey, guess what? North Korea blew up a bomb. People have been shot. Charlie Hebdo, there's maybe another attack in Paris. Blah, 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 blah. You got to throw in, hey, guess what? This little kid went to preschool for the first time. Oh, isn't that sweet? Yeah, here's a cat video. Oh. Now back to somebody else got murdered. Oh, geez, really? I mean, you got to balance it out.
News is literally reality television for the earth. But reality television isn't, you know, news to me is something that impacts you or has any relevance to your life, or a plane crash, the Malaysia plane crash, for example. Okay, that's really sad. Hundreds of people died. That's really sad, and that sucks. But you know, you're a lot safer getting on an airplane than you are getting in your car.
I think the thing with that was they didn't know where they couldn't find it. Usually if a plane crashes, it's sad. You find the wreckage or the black box and you move on. This plane just disappeared.
I guess that's...
And nobody knew why it crashed, where it crashed, what happened. Was it sabotage, as William Shatner likes to say?
There's a bit of a mystery there, I suppose, and it's that creates conversation. But there are other plane crashes all the time that, you know, a Russian airliner goes down. Oh, you know, who's in charge?
How about the story that came out today that a private plane that crashed a couple years ago that killed a North Suburban guy and his teenage daughter, turns out he was on cocaine when his plane ran out of fuel and
crashed. I don't care about that.
I don't either.
I think it's a really sad story that he died and that his daughter died. I think that's really sad, and I don't need to know that. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm not doing cocaine.
You're not?
I'm not flying airplanes.
That's a shame.
Neither of those things are happening. No one's going to crash into my house. You're more likely to die drinking alcohol or going to a bar or walking outside your house. And it's just, I don't know.
Boy. It's the Brian Noonan Show podcast with Edward R. Murrow. Back from the grave. Hard-hitting journalism.
I didn't even want
to
talk.
Nice.
I was going to talk about social media as well.
Here's the thing. You had things that you wanted to talk about. And yet, when I said that, you said, no, I want you. So then we go where I want to go. Where do you want to?
Where do you want to go?
We've been going where I want to go. We've just been meandering.
You wanted to meander, but you had.
I like talking about all kinds of stuff. We've been talking about all kinds of stuff.
I'm happy with the conversation we've had.
So am I.
I'm not.
I think people enjoy it too.
I'm violent agreement with you.
All right. So what's social media issue?
The story. There was just one story that because I don't. This is kind of news. So this is this is news.
Well, see, we're not positioning ourselves as a news program.
True.
So we're not saying, here's all the news you need to know. We're saying, here's stuff we find interesting that we think you might find interesting too.
Yes.
We've gotten those texts before about why doesn't he cover the news? Does he think he's a newsman? No, absolutely not. If you've ever heard me say that I'm a newsman, I will give you $1,000.
Yeah.
But I had to say it seriously. There's the thing. If I ever position myself as, listen, Cody, I've been following this story for a long time, and I've used all my sources, and I have a fedora that says press on the side.
Your sources.
My sources. I have sources. So we don't position ourselves. So you can bring up what you would consider a lightweight story or a non-newsworthy story, and it fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
So what's your story?
Story is Twitter.
What about?
I heard the big news about Twitter.
What, that their diversity guy is an old white man?
Wait, was that in the news?
Yeah.
There's another thing I don't care about.
Oh, well, they made a big thing that they were going to, it was going to be more diverse. So their head of diversity, they hired a 50-some-year-old white guy from Simi Valley to head up Twitter's diversity arm or whatever.
You know what, though? I was in a meeting in college my freshman year.
Look at you, going to meetings in college.
And we were talking in the Residence Hall Association, and I was talking about how we needed more diversity on our board because we were thinking of adding someone who was of Malaysian descent, I believe. And my RA from freshman
woefully
year.
Woefully underrepresented, by the way.
Woefully.
The Malaysians.
It's true.
It is.
And I said something along the lines of, look around, we're all white. And my RA turned to me, and her name was Sue. She's from downstate Illinois, and she's a lesbian.
Really?
So
oh boy.
I'm a minority in her own right.
I don't know why that's shocked. Oh, boy, here we go.
And she turned to me, and she said, diversity is more than just skin deep.
That is true. And she's exactly right.
The way she said it really, it's had an impact on me. This was 10 years ago this happened.
And well, I don't think this guy was part of any other, he wasn't a gay white man, or he wasn't, you know, a hemophiliac or what. I don't know.
But
he's
still,
just a
it's like.
I understand. But if you're a company that is supposedly, you know, embraced by, it's a hip, Twitter's still kind of hip. You know, right? It's
questionably.
But it's out there. And so just for public perception, if you're going to make a huge deal about firing someone and then hiring a new person to head up your diversity group, just from pure public image standpoint, maybe you hire someone who's not a 50-some-year-old white guy from Simi Valley.
So I think from a public perspective standpoint, I totally agree. I see what you're saying. But I don't think they should be judged as it being a poor decision because of what they did. You know, maybe he was a really good fit.
He may be the best candidate in the world for
exactly,
that job. He may be the guy. And if it had gone the other way and they hire, you know, you hire somebody just because they fit a diversity profile
exactly.
that you have. That's bad. But there may have been someone as qualified or really close that would have been heralded as, look, Twitter is now making strides to do what they're saying they're going to do, rather than just going, oh, it's more of the same corporate BS.
See, I actually applaud Twitter for that decision.
All right,
it's like with the presidential race, which we won't get into, but a lot
again?
Of Planned Parenthood has come out basically and said Bernie Sanders is more of a feminist than Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
She doesn't get the feminist card just because she's a woman.
Right, exactly.
And
no,
she, you know, he's fought more for rights for women's health and birth control and things like that. And the woman's able to, you know, own her own body or whatever the nomenclature is. So, you know, I applaud any women that take a look at the way it is and they say, well, I'm not just going to vote for this person because she's a woman.
Right, exactly.
Same
just
with
like
Twitter.
If you're an African-American candidate, you shouldn't get a pass. Just for all, and assume that you're going to get all the African American votes.
Yeah, exactly.
You may not be any good.
Yeah.
Just like a white guy might not be any good, a woman might not be any good. Just because you're a gay or lesbian candidate doesn't mean you can count on that core group of voters backing you. If you're a lunatic,
yeah.
Look at Ben Carson. Ben Carson's not going to get a majority of the black vote.
He's not getting a whole lot of.
Even though
right
someone
now.
I care about quite deeply. I pulled up behind their car the other day, and they had a big Ben Carson thing in the back window. Somebody it said, like, Ben Carson, the only one who can save America. And I went, oh, no.
Oh.
So I torched their car.
Wow.
See if Ben will save you now. Ha-ha! Anyway, what was your story about Twitter?
It wasn't even the Twitter story.
It wasn't. You said Twitter.
Their character limit.
Oh, you're... they're thinking of raising it from 140?
This is a big deal.
I know it is, because then it just becomes a blog site.
Kinda. That was my initial reaction as well.
But then you rethought it because you are in the social media realm. And what did you decide?
My gut reaction, like everyone's. So,
yes.
There was a huge... Well, first of all, I should actually recap the story for the
Please
listener.
Do.
For the listener.
Listen, Twitter, our listeners should be abreast of all current events.
Sure.
Because this is a news program.
Is it? Is that what it is?
Not even close to
being. All right. So as Chicago Tribune reports, Twitter's 140-character limit on tweets has long frustrated and challenged its most verbose users, of course. And now the company could offer a solution, according to the tech news website Recode and every other media outlet.
Right.
The 10,000-character tweet could be available as soon as March. Twitter is considering increasing the limit to 10,000 characters.
All right, go ahead. Tell me if you like this or not, and then I will tell you my thoughts.
Well, so first of all, the internet backlash was swift and immediate, just like every backlash. Everyone's furious. It's going to ruin Twitter. It's going to kill the user experience. Now, the founder of Twitter said something along the lines, I should probably pull up the quote, but he basically said, a lot of people are writing text, taking a screenshot, and posting that as an image. Have you seen this done?
I have seen it done.
So they'll, you know, you'll write a paragraph in a big text, post as an image, then you can read it. And Twitter's thinking is, what if we could crawl that text? What if we could scan that text? What if that text were indexed? Because you can have 10,000 people tweet the same paragraph, but no one's going to know that that's been said, because all these websites and search engine algorithms and website indexing and all these things, they only pick up text right now, currently,
right,
as we record this podcast. They're not scrubbing images for their text. So analytics could become a lot better. Data could become a lot better. Everything could be archived much better and more effectively if all of the text is indexed. And supposedly the user experience will maintain 140 characters. You'll have to click on the tweet or click more to expand and see the rest of it.
Okay.
So by and large, it will still be the same Twitter experience, only now if some celebrity decides to go on a 10-tweet rant,
right,
instead of saying one of 10 at the end of every tweet, now he can just rant at the end of one.
Okay.
He can just rant in one big long tweet and at the start just start going, have it be one big long tweet. You don't have to crawl through their timeline to find them, and then they're done. So at first thought, it's like, you know, this is really annoying. It's going to ruin the experience. It'll become like everything else. Do you know why Twitter had the 140-character limit?
No.
Because when Twitter was created, nobody really had smartphones, and the 160 characters is the limit for a text message.
Oh.
And the idea of Twitter was 140 characters and then some extra characters available for your at handle.
Okay.
Your user handle.
Right, because that used to count in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could, it still does. So you could tweet from your phone and you could say at Brian Noonan Show and then 140 characters and there you go. So that's why it was created. It was based on a technological limitation that has not been relevant for 10 years now, basically.
Right.
So I get the other side, and I get no one likes change. And here's the other thing I thought. Anytime Facebook has ever made a change,
oh, everybody complains nonstop.
It's nonstop.
Every day. People don't like change. Here was my only worry. And people still do that, like you said. But it's like, oh, do we need another platform for people to post endless diatribes of stupidity? And I guess this way, at least, I think 140 characters, and I know people have bastardized this and are posting pictures of paragraphs and things like that, but I find it a challenge to be entertaining or witty or insightful in a short amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what makes Twitter great, and that's why there's some people who are really good at Twitter. I mean, I'll have my moments, but I don't tweet nearly as much, and sometimes I just – it's like, man, because it's a discipline.
Yeah.
To get it down. And I liked that about Twitter, where now, you know, you can just run it at the mouth and just then it's all going to be there. But I guess if we don't click more, we don't have to see it. But, and you're right, you don't have to go back and search somebody's timeline to if you see they're in a flame war with someone and you're like, oh man, I got to find out what this guy had to say. Or if there's a, you know, some sort of big issue and a controversy and you go, oh, I got to go to their feed. And then you're not going through a million responses to see what caused the controversy. I guess that's fine.
That's the other thing is I'm thinking Twitter's really big in other countries for real-time reporting.
Right.
Countries have shut it down. Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Turkey, I think. Right. Because people are on the ground and they're saying police just set fire to somebody's car, you know, whatever.
Sure, sure.
And I think this could help get a little more information. Instead of having to punch in one sentence, hit tweet, punch in a sentence, hit tweet, you can get a little bit more of the story
right.
at a time. And I think it could actually be beneficial for sharing some of this information.
Well, it's listen, when are they saying this is going to start? You probably said it and I missed it.
Supposedly around March is what this report said could happen as early as March. Mm-hmm. Now, Twitter's going to let developers know ahead of time. So I'll have a heads up.
Sure, because you're developing.
I'm not a developer. I don't develop, but I work with enough developers to know.
Right.
I don't personally code.
Well, that won't change how people find Brian Noonan's show or at Producer Cody on Twitter, will it?
Yeah, exactly.
They can still find it. They can get links that will link them to this podcast as well as Game Life Balance. There'll be, you know, all our anything that comes from the Brian Noonan Show Facebook page will immediately show up on Twitter.
Yeah.
All our silliness will still be the same. So on that note, I don't care. Let them do whatever they want.
Right.
Doesn't change my experience. I'm still gonna try to tweet because I like brevity sometimes.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Is it?
That's a quote
it
from somebody.
It is. No, it is.
Who said that?
Not me.
I'm gonna Google it.
Oh yeah, why don't you Google it during the program?
I'm producing over here.
I know, and you type much faster than I do.
You were doing your laundry earlier or whatever.
I was not. I was making a note to do something of import. After the show, because normally I do it before the show, but I forgot because we were engaged in conversation and there was brisket and I just, you know, I forgot.
It's from Hamlet.
Is it?
It is. The full quote, if I may, may I quote Hamlet?
Listen, if there's one thing I've said to you since we started working together, I need more Shakespeare.
Yes.
And up until now... We have little to no Shakespeare.
Woolfully.
Alas, poor Cody,
yes.
We've had no Shakespeare.
I am poor, based on what they pay me.
Sure. Yeah, you and me both. Anyway, back to happier thoughts. Yes, please quote Hamlet.
As Polonius once posited, as we all know.
That's alliteration.
Yes.
I like that.
My liege and madam, to expostulate what majesty should be, what duty is, what day is day, night, night, and time is time. We're nothing but to waste night, day, and time. Therefore, since brevity is the soul of wit, and tediousness the limbs and outward flourishes, I will be brief. Your noble son is mad.
If that's all he had to say, that was the most long-winded insult in the history of insults.
See, old Twitter? Your noble son is mad. New Twitter? Eight lines, the whole thing.
I don't need the whole thing to get to the point.
Yeah.
Get to the point, felonious monk. You know,
Polonius,
Thessalonians.
Is that
Thessalonians
biblical?
Were in the biblical?
Yes,
they were in the biblical. Yo, yo, I'm all up in the biblical. Yo,
yeah, yeah.
A brother got to get preached to.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm.
Can I get an amen?
Nope.
Wow. All right.
I'm being adversarial.
Is it because you're angry at America?
It's because I'm being adversarial.
Oh, okay. I see how you play that game. So you're all for this, and I think, listen, the platforms are going to evolve. That's how the world is. Things will evolve. And who knows what's next? Twitter's not going to go forever. Is it?
It might.
People keep saying the end of Facebook is near. I don't see it. I see every human being on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
Facebook is insane.
It's not going anywhere.
It's never going anywhere.
And all these hip, savvy, oh, I know about the internet. Oh, Facebook's dead. Everybody knows Facebook's
dead.
Sure,
Facebook's dead. Yeah, okay. Radio's dead.
Yeah.
Everything's dead.
Everything, yeah, you're absolutely.
You know what's not dead? Waxing your mustache, hipster. Shut up. Drink a PBR, put on your skinny jeans, and walk around because the world is not dying. Just because you're bringing back vinyl doesn't mean that Facebook is dead.
Yeah.
It means your taste in music is dead because you're living on a past platform.
Here's a tip. If you ever run into a social media person that says Twitter is dead or Facebook is dead or nobody's using these anymore or they'll be gone, anything like that, they're dumb.
They're dumb.
And they're not good at what they do.
Right.
Call me. Literally email me and I will do work for you.
Cody will tell you what's happening.
No, because anybody that does that is they're trumping. They're Donald Trumping. They're just saying something outrageous to get attention.
Right.
And you think, oh, wow, that's very forward thinking of them. No, they're wrong and they're dumb.
Right. It's
absolutely
not going anywhere.
No.
You can use these platforms. That doesn't mean you tone out any new ones. You can still look at new things. New ones might come up. Maybe there'll be more, you know, Snapchat. Maybe that will finally take off bigger than it has. Maybe there'll be more videos. Maybe, you know, I had a conversation with Scott Kleinberg from the Tribune about these kind of things, and he predicts that this is the year for Snapchat. More people will start using Snapchat. Did you just burp?
You know, there was a noise that happened in my mouth.
Wow.
I don't know where that came from.
That is foul.
I don't know what it was. I may edit that out.
No, leave that in. Because now I'm going to go on a, you know, now we're talking about it. You going to edit this whole thing out?
I could.
Why?
Because. Save myself some face.
That's cheating.
But then I'd look really good, sound really good.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right.
What else you got? What else you got over there?
That was all it? I wanted to talk about.
That was all you want? Really? The Twitter thing was it?
That was my story.
It's a good story. I like it. You know, it was fine. Let's take some calls. Oh, no, we're on a podcast. Can we do that sometime? Can we, like, live record a podcast if we tell people that they can call in and maybe ask us things? How about an Ask Us Anything podcast?
No, because we don't have any phone lines available.
We don't?
They're being used by the terrestrial station.
How about Twitter?
We could have people tweet at it, but they won't hear what we say.
Well, we'll read them. We'll read their tweets.
Tweet at it. Because we could do that anyway. We could just say... Well, we could say it now. We could literally right now, we could say, hey, listener, if you're listening to this, tweet a question at us and we'll answer it on the next podcast.
There we go. You could tweet us.
It's done.
Brian Noonan Show, or I guess you could go to Producer Cody.
At Producer Cody.
Yeah, because he's taken over the show. That's what I heard.
Is that what I've done by opening it?
It all comes back around. See what we do? It's circuitous, our route to the end.
I had nothing else to say on this podcast. Well, I never really have anything to say, but I had nothing, no other topics. But then after we record this podcast, we're going to record a mini podcast.
Which
is being posted prior to the podcast we're recording right now. So we are going to break the laws of the linear progression of time and space.
I like it. I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Well,
I heard Breaking the Law and Thin Lizzy popped in.
Breaking the Law.
Breaking the Law. Who is that? Breaking the Law. We should know that.
Danzig.
Is that Danzig? It's not Danzig.
It's.
Quick, look it up. I like that you type fast.
I type 100. We did it on Judas Priest.
That's it.
Wow.
Because right now everybody who's listening, who's a metalhead, was like, those two guys are knuckleheads. How do they not know Judas Priest did Breaking the Law? Rob Halford singing it, singing lead.
You know that, you didn't have anything. Well, I had a lot of stuff.
We just talked about all kinds of stuff.
I like chatting.
I do too. You know, we could do... If you want, we can go back to the old radio paradigm of doing topics.
No.
Do we want to come in and do a topic?
No, I don't.
Well,
I thought you did. Well, because the
no,
second...
No, after... right. The second one, we came in and I had prepared it much as I do the radio show. And then we went off on other things and afterwards we spoke about it. And you explained again, ad nauseum, the difference between broadcasting and podcasting. And podcasting seems to play into my strengths, where I just will talk about whatever comes up.
Okay, cool. I thought you were...
If there's something... No, like, if I... When I told the mouse story, that had just happened. If something like that, then I'll have it. And I did have a couple things, but nothing of import that can't either wait or that was more important or more entertaining than what we were already talking about.
Got it.
So, you know...
Good to know.
I was driving where I wanted to go.
I love that we kind of analyze the show on the podcast,
right?
Too.
We're our own comment section.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it. So don't waste time commenting. Just know that we've commented. We've thought about it much more than you ever could.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you listening. And if you have a comment, go ahead and make it. This America, much to Cody's chagrin, you're more than welcome to make the comment. But you know. It's not like we're not putting any analysis into this program.
Yes,
because we analyze.
Yes,
but again, once the mics go off, I've forgotten that we even did it.
You can't have analyzed without anal.
What can you have without anal? Anything, Sarah? What can we have?
That's not appropriate. The hardest part about this podcast is stopping.
The hardest part is the end.
There's always some little one-liner or zinger. Your brain just always associations.
All I need is for you to say it's over, and then I'm done.
That's It's all hard for me to do.
To say it's done?
Why don't you say it?
Because we got a mini podcast to do. I'm gearing up for that. I'm jacked up. Let's go. We got a mini podcast. I'm on the next show. This show is done.
All right. The show's done. It's over.